Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Well, today we are kicking off a brief 3-week series all about fishing. And as we begin, I should acknowledge, for purposes of transparency, I've never been fishing in my life. I have absolutely no interest in ever giving it a try. I doubt I'll ever do it. So it might seem like a funny topic to propose for a message series. But as we see in today's gospel, when Jesus called his first followers, who were fishermen, he promised that if they followed him, he would change and transform them, beginning with how they fish. And Jesus didn't promise to make them smarter, healthier, or wealthier. He didn't promise to make them more popular or better looking. He didn't promise any of the things that are constantly being marketed to us. Interestingly, Jesus didn't even promise the apostles that if they followed him, he would make them holier. He didn't make that promise. Jesus told his first followers that if they followed him, they would become fishers of men. He would teach them how to use the same skill, patience, and determination they used as professional fishermen to bring people into a relationship with him. It's an interesting fact that 7 of Jesus' 12 apostles were fishermen. Rather than choosing religious professionals or scholars and theologians to carry on his mission, Jesus chose hardworking, uneducated, blue-collar kind of guys, perhaps in part to show that what he was asking them to do, anybody can do. No special skills or preparation needed. So the metaphor of fishing has been used throughout the history of Christianity to describe our efforts to share our faith in Christ, just as the church has traditionally sometimes been compared to a boat. And why, perhaps you didn't know, the front of our new building suggests the bow of a ship. Jesus invites us to engage people with the truth of the gospel, the truth that God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. That's why followers fish. Following and fishing go together. The fancy church words for all of this are evangelization and discipleship, not words that have ever been very much used in the Catholic Church traditionally. We hear evangelization, and we think of a certain denomination of conservative Christians instead of a basic exercise for all Christians. You know, traditionally, the Catholic Church undertook evangelization through 2 approaches. One was to send off missionaries to faraway places to devote the whole of their lives to spreading the gospel. A very noble endeavor for sure. And if you grew up in the Catholic Church, maybe you remember visiting missionaries who would visit parishes to raise money for their missions, telling exotic tales of their adventures. I know as a kid, we always looked forward to the visiting missionaries because their preaching was so much more interesting than our own pastor's was. Very interesting, but it couldn't have been further removed from the experience of the average person in the pew. The other way the Catholic Church encouraged making disciples was, well, large families, literally, making disciples. Now, if you're interested in devoting the rest of your life to the missions, we can help you out and point you in the right direction. If, on the other hand, you just want to make disciples, well, you got to figure that one out on your own. But there really is an easier way. Evangelization and discipleship don't require some kind of lifetime commitment or even a change in lifestyle. Our mission field, it's not on the other side of the planet. It's in our own backyard. It's in our workplaces and our classrooms and schools, in our own families. We have opportunities all around us all the time to bring people into a relationship with Christ. Unfortunately, since we don't have a history of it, we tend to think of sharing our faith to the extent that we think about it at all as unnecessary, impolite, perhaps even inappropriate. Over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to try and change that kind of thinking. And I hope to do it by underscoring two truths. First truth, the most loving way to love others is to share Christ with them. Second truth, sharing our faith is a great way, a crucial way, to grow our faith. And to get started on this reflection, we're going to look at a passage from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where we learn this. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. So he's standing by this lake, which was also known as the Sea of Galilee, and he's preaching and teaching, and a huge crowd gathers to hear him. So over and over again, the Gospels relate this kind of scene. Jesus attracted crowds everywhere he went. People wanted to be around him, to hear him speak, to see what he would do. People who were nothing like him liked him. In this particular scene, they're pressing in on him so much so that there's no place left for him to go except into the water. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. So the boats were available because the fishermen were done working for the day, which we know because Luke tells us they were washing their nets. Along with the fish, the nets would collect seaweed and gunk and needed to be cleaned, and then they were left to dry, lest they rot and tear. So Jesus gets into Simon Peter's boat, and they put out a little from the beach. The boat becomes his pulpit in which he continues to preach. And then, after he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Put out into deep water. If you want to go deeper in your relationship with the Lord, if you want to grow in faith, sometimes, or from time to time, you've got to put out into deeper water. And that's not always a comfortable thing to do. In fact, it can be pretty uncomfortable. But that's anything in life, isn't it? We're pretty much uncomfortable in any environment, trying anything for the first time. And the experience forces us to see ourselves differently. And that can be difficult, too. When it comes to sharing our faith, you might think, well, I'm not religious. I'm not that holy. I'm not someone who talks about God or invites people to church. That's just not who I am. Maybe you're not there yet. Peter wasn't there yet. Take a look. Simon said in reply, Master, we've worked hard all night and have caught nothing. We've worked hard all night and have caught nothing. Simon Peter, the fisherman, explains to Jesus, the carpenter, that it's the wrong time to fish. Fishermen fished at night because the water was cooler and the fish could swim closer to the surface, making them easier to catch. During the heat of the day, they swam in the deep where the water remained cool and they remained elusive. Peter's essentially saying, you might be a great preacher and teacher, but you don't know anything about fishing. Peter knew well this was a fool's errand and a waste of time. Besides, he'd been working hard all night and would have been tired. And they had just cleaned their nets, and that's no small job. But the attraction to Jesus, the man, must have been such that he overlooks these obvious arguments and goes fishing anyway. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. And they signaled to their partners in the boat, in the other boat, to come and help them out. They came and filled both boats, so the boats were in danger of sinking. The great catch reminds us that Jesus knows what he's talking about. We introduce people to Christ because he knows what he's talking about. He can help make us better at life. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. Peter pretty much freaks out, recognizing, at least in an initial way, the gap, the difference, the distance between him and Jesus. He gets a glimpse of Jesus' power and authority, and it is simply overwhelming. Jesus says to him, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. So over and over again in the gospel, Jesus counsels his friends and followers, Don't be afraid. Fishing and fear are mutually exclusive. When it comes to sharing our faith, well, that can fill us with fear. And the counsel of the gospel remains the same to us. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You've got a past that's inconsistent with this role. Don't be afraid that you'll come across as a hypocrite. Don't be afraid that you'll stand out as the nerdy church guy. Don't be afraid that you don't have all the right answers to all the difficult questions like why bad things happen to good people, or how does a good God allow evil, or how did Noah get all those dinosaurs on the ark? Don't be afraid. Certainly acknowledge your fears, acknowledge your discomfort, but don't let that slow you down. Didn't slow Peter down. When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. They left their boats and their nets, which meant they left their businesses and their livelihood, which meant they left everything, their whole plan for the rest of their lives. Peter and his partners left everything that had to do with their old way of fishing. Fortunately, the invitation to fish that he gives us doesn't probably require us to leave everything, but maybe it requires us to leave something, like our comfort zone. Our strategy here at Nativity is simple as can be. It's not about leaving aside our lives as much as it approaching life a little differently. Think about it. As you go through your day or your week, could you be on the lookout for friends and family members, coworkers, or classmates who don't have a relationship with Christ? They're not hard to find. Could you invest in them? Invest in them through prayer. Invest in them by fasting a little bit in some way. Invest in them in the same way you would invest in any relationship. And then, when appropriate, invite them to come to church. And please know, we're not sending you out there all alone and on your own. We want to be fishing partners with you. That's what our staff and our member ministers are all about. We want to be fishing partners with you. That's why we invest time and resources in the music and the message and all the technology. It's why we value a spirit of hospitality with our member ministers, working to create an attractive environment for the unchurched. If you go to the effort to invite someone to church and they actually show up, we promise you, no matter the weekend, that our staff and our member ministers will be working hard to bring their best to make sure your guest has a great experience. A while back, somebody approached me after Mass, and they said, are you going to be here next weekend? And I said, yeah. And they asked, and how about the band and all the tech guys and everybody? And I said, yes, as usual. Why do you ask? And the guy says, well, you know, I've been working on my neighbor for 2 years, inviting him to church, and he's coming next Sunday. So don't screw it up. We'll try. So over the next few weeks, we're asking you to commit to impacting just one person. Choose one person. Make a focused effort to pray for them on a daily basis. That's easy enough to do, right? And maybe fast for them in some simple fast from something you enjoy, which lends power to your prayer. Invest in the person relationally by looking for opportunities to talk and connect with them. And then, when, over the next 3 weeks, you get the opportunity, invite that person to join us for our Lenten series, which begins the first weekend of March. And it's going to be an incredible and amazing message series tailor-made for anybody who's coming to the church for the first time or the first time in a long time. Use one of these invitation cards that you can pick up on your way out of church today, or go to our website and send an electronic invitation. No, Jesus isn't just the expert on religion. He's the expert on life, every aspect of it. When we are talking about fishing, we're not talking about introducing people to religion. We're talking about introducing people into a relationship with the one person who understands life better than any person who ever lived. That's why followers fish.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.